The word of God given us today is Acts chapter 16, verse 11 through 15. Acts chapter 16, verse 11 through 15. Allow me to read. From Troas we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day unto Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house," and she persuaded us. Amen. Today's text begins with verse 11. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day unto Neapolis. In Troas, Paul and his companions tried hard to get a ship to Macedonia, and finally, they were able to depart Troas. The boat with Paul and his companions, called as Samothrace, northeast from the Aegean Sea, which connects the European and Asian continent, and stayed one night there. From Troas, where Paul and his company departed to the Balkan Peninsula in the European continent, it takes about 5 days by ship back in 2,000 years ago. So, most vessels which cross the North Aegean Sea from east to west would stay at Samothrace one night in most cases. In the middle of Samothrace, there was a 1,600 meter tall mountain called Phangari, the highest among those in the Aegean Sea. Since the mountain was a milestone of the sea, Samothrace had long been a hub in ocean traffic. The text says, Paul and his company were directly headed for Samothrace, does not mean that they did not stop over at other islands. It was not easy for vessels at the time to sail to the destination without a hitch. When there were sudden winds, sailboats had to move from here to there to avoid the wind. Paul's boat, however, could manage to get to Samothrace without sudden winds. Paul and his companions, after staying one night at Samothrace, headed toward Neapolis the next day. Neapolis was a port city located northeast from the Balkan Peninsula in Europe and the east starting point of Phoenicia, which was a military and commercial road across the Balkan Peninsula from east to west. Neapolis, which is called Kavala nowadays in Greece, is also a place where a British poet, Byron, wrote a poem for the beautiful scenery of the coast. Look at the verse 12. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. Upon arrival at Neapolis, Paul and his companions went directly to Philippi, 14 kilometers away from Neapolis, along the Via Egnatia. Today's text introduces Philippi as a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. A Greek word, protos, means the first or the best. But the biggest city at the time, in Macedonia at the time, was the administrative capital, Thessalonica. Therefore, the reason the scripture says Philippi as the leading city of the district of Macedonia can be understood that Philippi was the most important city in geographical, commercial, and historical terms. What would be the reason that Paul and his companions leave Troas of the Asian continent for Philippi, the leading city of Macedonia through Samothrace of the Aegean Sea and Neapolis of Europe? That is why Paul and his company accepted Paul's vision in Troas, where people of Macedonia asked for help as God's order to go and preach the gospel to the people of Macedonia. It is not that what people accept is all put into action. On the package of cigarettes, there is a warning that smoking could harm the health. That tells that all people accept smoking is harmful to our health. However, there are large businesses producing cigarettes accepted by all to be harmful, and there are numerous people who love to smoke. There might be no married one who would not admit that he or she made a marriage vow. But still, that does not mean that every married person loves the spouse as the marriage vow. Christians are those who admit that the Bible is the Word of God and the Word must be followed. However, it is not always true that all Christians abide by the Bible, which they admitted as the Word of God. As such, there are far more people who admit but do not act than those who put into action. But Paul did not stop at admitting his vision as God's order in his mind and thoughts. But he practiced what he admitted right away. Faith does not mean only what we rationally think and admit in our mind. And it is not just proclaiming that we believe. Faith is to act what we admitted and proclaimed. No matter how expensive and various kinds of paints we have, unless any one draw a picture with those paints, they are nothing but paints. They never can become an artwork. As such, the admission or proclamation which is not put into action can become a motivation of faith, but can never become the faith itself. In this sense, Paul indeed was a great Christian. Paul did not act on the belief and admission in a hermit, monastery, or the Garden of Eden. The Aegean Sea and cities on the coast are stained with historical disgrace. The Aegean Sea was a place where early Greece and the ancient Troy had fought for the hegemony since the 13th century. In the 6th century BC, Darius the Great of Persian Empire crossed the sea to attack Greece. 2 centuries later, Alexander the Great trampled on the sea to establish the Greek Empire. During the First World War, the U.S.-Europe alliance took Ottoman Empire, today's Turkey, which was an alliance with Germany, through the sea. Where General Mustafa Kemal, who set up today's Turkey against the Allied forces, who had tried to separate the Turkey continent since the World War, defeated the Allied force, as also the Dardanelles near to the Aegean Sea. Troas, from which Paul and his companions departed, was a new city linking the well-known ancient Troy. Troy, located on the west of today's Turkey, was a powerful empire and called Anatolia. But when the Trojan prince Paris left for Troy with Queen Helena of Sparta, each of Greek city states formed an alliance to expedite Troy. The war lasted for 10 years, but Troy was impregnable. The Greek expedition finally retreated, leaving the huge Trojan horse on the coast of Troy. The Trojan army offered the Trojan horse, left over by the Greek army, to the idol they believed. And the people of Troy were drunk and fell into a deep sleep, full of joy after winning the war. But it was the trick Greeks masterminded. A Greek commando unit was in the Trojan horse, and the Greek navy, which seemed to retreat, was hiding in ambush. When Trojans were sleeping, the commando unit came down from the horse and opened the gate of the castle. Greek soldiers waiting outside devastated the castle of Troy, once was invincible. The word Trojan horse is often used when a group is split, not because of our outer problem, but because of inner problems. Afterwards, right next to Troy, which had gone, Troy was newly established by the Greek Empire and was merged into the Roman Empire in 133 BC. When Paul and his companions were getting on board, Troas was already one of the most important ports of the Roman Empire. Many years later, in 1871, Schliemann, a German man, found the remains of Troy near Troas, and a tremendous amount of treasures were excavated. Schliemann smuggled the treasures out to Germany. Those stolen treasures were all donated to a museum after his death. But in 1945, Soviet Union took them away while they occupied Germany. The German government is still requesting Russia to return them, but Russia kept rejecting. It is a rare scene that two parties are quarreling over stolen goods. A similar incident happened on Samothrace Island. Samothrace, where Paul and his companions stopped for a night, was also called Poseidon by residents of the island. Poseidon, the god of the sea in Greek mythology, was believed to measure the ancient Trojan plain from the Fangri Mountain. It is a good example of idolatry prevalent among people at that time. There was also an enormous temple when Paul and his company stopped. In 1863, Charles Champazeau, a Frenchman, found 100 pieces of debris on Samothrace Island. He also smuggled the debris out to France. He restored the sculpture with those pieces, and it is now exhibited on the central stairs in the known room of Musée du Louvre. It is a famous statue of a goddess, Victory de Samothrace. It doesn't have arms and legs, but is more known as Winged Victory of Samothrace. The Greek government continues to request its return with other stolen treasures, but the French government does not accept it at all. Philippi, the leading city of that district of Macedonia, was a very small town. However, in 356 BC, Philip II of Macedonia, the father of the great Alexander, transformed the city into a huge fortified city with the recognition of its geographical, strategic, and economical importance, and named it after his name. But it was conquered by the Roman Empire in 167 BC. Thessaloniki was also added to Macedonia in 146. Later, after the death of Caesar, Philippi became a fierce battlefield where the destiny of the Roman Empire was decided. the troop of Brutus, who assassinated Caesar and Cassius, and the troop of Octavianus, the adopted son of Caesar, who became Augustus, and Antonius fought decisive battles in the valley of Gangites in 42 BC. Brutus and Cassius won a victory over Octavianus and Antonius in the first battle, but after 3 weeks, the troop of Brutus and Cassius were annihilated by the troop of Octavianus and Antonius in the final battle. And after realizing that there is no chance of recovery, Brutus finished his life by committing suicide. Where Paul practiced what he believed was neither a monastery far from the secular world, nor the Garden of Eden away from the reality. He did that in the cities with full of human desires. As I mentioned, endless battles of war for those desires have been repeated on the sea and on the earth. How could the justice be found in the battles of war for desires? Only deception, plunder, killing, and rape are found. Where Paul visited was overwhelming shrines. Where they fell from the sky or just appeared from the ground. Of course, they were all idols made by hands of humans. They made them to worship them with the hope of their desires to be realized. In a word, all idols are byproduct of our desires. What did Paul bring with him to the seas and cities of desires? Did he bring the sword like Roman soldiers? Or did he bring tons of money like an entrepreneur's? Did he go there to smuggle or plunder? There is a huge mosaic mural on the wall of St. Nicholas Cathedral in Neapolis to commemorate the landing of Paul in Neapolis from the Aegean Sea. Paul, seeing a vision at night in Troas, is drawn on the left side of the mural. The person who showed up with the impression of the great Alexander in Paul's dream is in the center. And Paul, landing on Neapolis with the Bible in his right hand, from the boat after crossing over the Aegean Sea from Troas, is on the right side of the mural. Of course, there was no New Testament written at that time, so the Bible, like one in the mural, is not realistic. But the message is crystal clear. He landed on the unknown ground, only following the words of God, with no dependence on worldly things and money. As such, Paul realized the true meaning of words of God in his heart, but it didn't stop there. He went to the land of desires, where the cities of desires were by crossing over the sea of desires to practice the words of God in person. What could be the result of his work? Wherever he went in Corinth, there established churches of the Lord. There is nothing better than being used as the channel of God for mortal humans who will turn into a handful of dirt after a few decades of life. And no one can buy it with sword or money. However, it couldn't be achieved if Paul hadn't practiced the words of God without being tempted into the sea of desires and world of desire. In Luke 10:25-37, there is a nasty law teacher. He asked Jesus a question to put him in trouble. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus asked him back, what is written in the law? As an expert of law, he answered based on Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, and Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. After listening to his answer, Jesus answered to him in Luke 10:27, you have answered correctly. Jesus replied, do this and you will live. Jesus taught us a lesson that the words of God for the eternal life is not just for realizing and memorizing, but for practicing in real life. Then the expert asked again, and who is my neighbor? Jesus answered him with the story of Good Samaritan. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? But the expert admitted that the Samaritan was a true neighbor who had mercy on the victim. Jesus didn't praise his answer. However, Jesus said, go and do likewise instead. Jesus reassured the expert that having faith is not acknowledging things in head, but practicing them in one's everyday life. The Trinity God did not just reassure himself or announce his love for humans. If he had done like that, who could believe the salvation of God? The Trinity God practices love in person by sacrificing Jesus Christ, the Son of God, on the cross for the sins of humans. Thanks to this, we, the wretched, could become children of God. As such, since God is the one who practices providence by himself, our faith toward him is revealed through our practice in our lives. Having faith is not just acknowledging the words of God. Having faith is practicing his words in our lives. No matter how firmly we acknowledge and proclaim the words of God, his words cannot be incarnated in our lives unless we practice them. Those who are only successful with swords would perish with swords, and those who are only successful with money would suffer woes. However, those who practice the words of God, like the Roman Empire was renewed by Paul, who crossed over the Sea of Desires and landed on the land of desire to practice the words of God, only depending on the words of God, would fulfill things that they can't imagine through their lives. Eternal God's words are the omnipotent words that created the heaven and earth. Let us pray. God, our faith has been only in our head. Our faith has been stopped by inner acknowledgement. We have had the faith for quite a long time, But the experience and the duration of having faith are almost next to nothing. Nevertheless, you never gave up on us and let us realize that having faith is practicing it through your words. Thank you, Lord. Let us remember that God, we believe, is the one who practiced His love on the cross. Let us not be the expert of law who only acknowledged what the Good Samaritan did, but the one who practices love of Jesus Christ as your true disciple, like the Good Samaritan. Let us be like Paul, who landed on the land of desires, beyond the sea of desires, and became the channel of God to renew the history of the land. Let us remember that as long as we practice the words of God in this world, no matter how mere we are, we will be able to experience God's providence that we can't imagine through our lives. Because eternal God's words are the omnipotent words that created the heaven and earth. Let our family, work, community, and this age be renewed through us practicing your words in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.